Good afternoon, Bev, and this is Jen here. Welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Thanks for being with us, Bev.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
And Bev, I want to do a little sound check. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Excellent. So, and you have joined us this afternoon to speak with us about your experience of participating in the virtual meditation group. So thanks for being with us for that.
My pleasure.
So I always like to not assume, although probably many folks who are listening have either participated or at least know about virtual meditation groups, but maybe not everyone. So Bev, might you start us off just kind of by telling us a little bit about what that practice opportunity is and how it works?
Yes. It's a six-week series of classes. It is once a week. An hour to an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay. Oh, did I lose you, Bev?
For a second, it seems like.
Okay, but you're hearing me okay now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So a six-week session, hour and 15 minutes. So you know what I just realized, Bev? I think we might be talking about a couple of different practice opportunities. Are you speaking about the recording and listening training?
The recording and listening group class. Is that, that's what I understood.
Perfect.
Oh, no, the virtual. You wanted to know about the virtual meditation. Well, I do both. So I would be happy to speak about that as well.
That's completely all right. That is the handy thing about being so involved in Sangha. That
it's all the same, really, isn't it? So the virtual meditation is offered for those of us, like in the city where I live, there is no sitting group. So it's offered to... an opportunity for you to sit with Sangha. It's 30 minutes in length. The first about 10 minutes is the daily recollection, and then we sit together as a Sangha for the next 20 minutes. And at the end, there is the ending suffering. I believe that most days it's offered twice for each time zone. And it's just really an opportunity to first get a schedule. You know, for me, I don't even think about it now. It's like it's 7 a.m. my time, Eastern time, is when I sit. And if for some reason I can't, there's one at 10. So it's just a great way to develop a regular sitting practice and to know that other people are out there sitting with you.
Yes. So... before I reflect back those details, because that was just absolutely beautifully stated, I just want to say what a side benefit awareness practice does for us in our lives, because you came on the interview thinking you were going to speak about one thing, and we're absolutely just right here present and able to speak about the other opportunity. And I just love what a modeling of the side benefit of presence that is, Deb. So thank you for that. That was really inspiring.
Okay.
So I'm curious, when you look at the participating in the virtual meditation groups, what you feel like participating in that particular form of practice adds to your practice?
Well, for one thing, it's very comforting to think when I'm sitting there that there are people maybe from all over the world. It's just, I don't physically see them, but I know they're there, and I feel that connection. And it's just such a good support to just know that there are other like-minded people out there sitting for themselves, but they're also sitting and supporting me as well.
Yep. So they're sitting for themselves, but it isn't just for ourselves. They're that's a very tangible sense of, you know, that someone else out there today.
Hey, Jen?
I keep losing Jen.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Bev, are you there? Jen?
I'm here. Bev's here.
Oh, good. Jen, you are cutting out.
Okay, I'm going to try to stand in a different spot. Michael, will you tell me when it sounds better?
Sure.
Okay. I'll keep walking here. My signal says it's fine, but I guess not.
Yep. Just every now and then it goes completely silent.
Okay. How is it right now?
Good. Good. I'll let you know if you're cut out.
All right. Let me know if it gets bad again.
Okay.
So what I was referring to was, I think what you were saying is that you realize in that practice opportunity that it matters other places in the country or even the world.
Jen?
And that really... Yep.
You're cutting
gone
out again.
Wow, I'm standing right still. I don't know.
Yeah,
okay.
Just keep talking. Keep talking.
Maybe I should move. Maybe that's the key. Maybe I shouldn't stand
still. Whenever we check, we can hear you fine.
Mm-hmm, of course. Okay. All right, I'm going to try again, Michael. How is it?
Okay. Go for it. Yep.
Okay. All right. So, Bev, what I'm attempting to reflect was, I think the principle that you were saying is that you really feel like as other folks are participating in this practice opportunity around the country and even other places in the world, that you really notice that that has a tangible impact and support for you. And so you realize that very likely your sitting also has an impact and is supporting other people as well.
Yes, that's just very, very comforting. It's just, I don't feel alone. I just feel very supported when I do the virtual meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's lovely that you now have that daily part of your routine that you get
And it's a sense of accountability. You know, it's just like making a commitment to myself, and it makes it a little easier to keep it because there's a set time to come to.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that no one knows if I don't do it, no one in the Sangha knows, but I know.
Yeah.
And it just helps me keep my practice at a set time each day. It's very helpful to me.
You're the only one who will know. No one's taking roll call and that sort of thing. But there is something about having it, as you say, on the schedule. You know, there it is. It's published on the schedule. Someone's going to ring the bell. We're going to say the recitations together. Somehow that makes it much more concrete than just, I think I'll probably meditate tomorrow around such and such a time. It's a really different thing to have that concrete schedule there.
And familiar, you know, being, I didn't understand the daily recollection at first, but just reciting that each day. And there is a place on the app where you can download the words. And I did that, and it's just very, to read along. And I know the voices are recorded, but it just really touches me each day when I read through that with the recording.
Yeah. And I project, I happen to know, and I think you mentioned it this morning on the radio show, that you're going to get to come and join us on retreat, and how lovely that will be. Having had all of that time practicing with Sangha, meditating, saying the recitation, and then getting to join and do it in person, that feels like kind of a completion in some way.
And in my curiosity about the daily recollection, Ashwini has written a blog. It's about the daily recollection, because at first I wanted to understand it and figure it all out, and I read that blog, and it really put it in perspective for me. So that might be something that if people haven't read, they might want to check that out. It's a beautiful account of the purpose of the daily recollection. So
thank you so much for reminding us about that. I was it a Musings article? Do you remember?
I believe it was.
I think it was
article.
Too.
Yes.
That's,
I think from 2015. You might have to go back and look for it, but it is within the Musings. And but I just found that really lovely to have a little bit of understanding about why, what's the purpose of it.
What is the purpose of it? And as you say, of course, the first thing conditioned mind wants to do is to understand it. And, of course, the only reason it wants to understand it is because it knows darn well you can't understand it.
Right.
So it likes to send us.
That's basically what she says. Just keep saying it, and it will permeate. You will understand. It will just come to you just like everything else does in time. So
That was lovely. Which is very much like meditation, isn't it? You know, what am I doing here? I'm just sitting here facing nothing, you know, a blank wall. I'm just sitting still. I'm not. And yet what we notice is that it permeates through our whole lives. When we take that time daily to just be quiet and to sit in that way, it has a huge impact for us throughout our whole life. Yeah.
Yes, it does. And certainly has for me anyway.
Well, Bev, I can't thank you enough for your willingness and all that you contribute to Sangha through that and through your amazing practice. So thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And we shall have you back at some point to speak about the recording and listening training. I love it.
Okay, thank you, Jen.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bev. Bye-bye. Take care.
Okay.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry. Thank you for hanging in there with a few bumps.
Yes. Yes, my pleasure. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Beth. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was a fun conversation, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Great.
Technology difficulties and all.
Well, I was just thinking how practice models dealing with those technology difficulties, and it's just a very beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it happens, and there's really nothing we can do about it, and so we just go on.
Yes.
Which again is much like
keep
life.
Keep showing up. Yeah.
Just keep showing up. Have a good time. Enjoy it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Great. And how are you?
Excellent, thank you. And yourself? I know you're a little older today.
Yeah.
We're all a little older today, but So feeling
great.
Feeling that birthday glow.
Yes, yes, it's great.
Good.
And I have announcements here.
All right.
As you well know, Sherry, Center has a new home and a new schedule.
Yes, and you know too. You know
yes,
too.
I
and
do.
Isn't it lovely?
It is very lovely. Yes, beautiful. Mm-hmm. As I expected, as we always find beautiful places.
I know. We thought the last one was perfect, but this one, the thing that I love about this one is it's equally beautiful inside and it's so beautiful outside. So
yeah.
I hope everybody comes to see it who has a chance.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they can join Sangha for Sunday morning meditation and group, for restorative yoga and meditation on Friday evenings, and for hatha yoga on Saturday afternoons.
Mm.
There are lots of fabulous activities coming up, including guidance with you, Sherry, on June 24th.
Mm-hmm.
So go
in
to
the garden.
Center in the garden. Oh, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So go to center.livingcompassion.org for more information and to register.
Right.
The powerful There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat is a chance for participants to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate, and to discover how to let that go. This foundational work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do.
Yeah.
Several retreats will be held this summer at the monastery, July 7th through 14th, July 28th through August 4th, and August 15th through 22nd.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, the first one is already full and getting ready to roll. So if somebody's interested, it'd be good to fill it fast.
Great, great. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. A new quarter begins July 15th.
Yes.
Take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine at the When You're Falling Dive Retreat, guided by you, Sherry, and Ashwini in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. This retreat runs from September 1st through 6th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
A very good time.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can get in the queue by pressing star 6 and then 1. That's how you make guest show. And a conversation that lasts about 5 minutes and is focused on one topic is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sherry, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
Yeah. Hi. I wanted to talk about something that's coming up for me right now around parenting, and it's kind of been on the back burner, but It's summer vacation starts tomorrow, and I'm just really feeling anxious about having my 11-year-old son and a 13-year-old stepson, and I've been looking at this conflict that comes up. Well, actually, I've been looking at what happens with me when this conflict comes up, which is just, it feels like something that just, like everything I've been working on in practice and everything I know to be true, and it just falls away, and I can't. I've just been looking for something that I can kind of hang on to and that can get me through. And
yeah. And
like
so
the opposite of. But, go ahead.
So I just want to be sure that I understand what you're saying. So these two are now going to be out of school all the
mm-hmm.
time, which
mm-hmm.
means you get to have them from waking up to going to bed, and they get into conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
With
each other.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, with each other, there's,
which is pretty normal.
Bicker.
Yeah, 11 sure, and 13, some right?
Physical.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. and then sometimes with me and like things that really trigger me and you know, like.
So they torture
really normal.
Each other, and then they torture you for a while, and then they torture each other. Is that kind of summer vacation? Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I've tried, like, two-handed recordings and reassurances, and I've put recordings in my ear, like, you know, I choose presence or something to keep me grounded, and it just... yeah, I haven't found
and
anything.
And so what do you, so it wouldn't be a problem except you want it to be other than it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I
right?
want it. Yeah.
So how do you want it to be? How do you want it to be that it's not?
Well, I want it to be peaceful, because when there's conflict, then I get upset, and when it's peaceful, I feel good. I feel like a good parent, and I feel like, oh, I'm feeling the way I want to feel,
uh-huh.
and I don't have all that other stuff coming up that makes me
yeah.
forget unconditional love and go in the opposite direction.
Okay, so we've got torture coming from several directions here, right? But the
mm-hmm.
main torture is from the voices in your head that
yeah.
tell you that you can only have the life experience that you want under these very specific circumstances that don't exist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Shall we stop just for a moment and take that in?
Well, I think a lot of people don't feel very happy when they're... I mean, I know I'm not the only one who feels like that when...
Absolutely. 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 But the point of it is that as adults, we are conditioned to believe that we can only be happy and in a state of well-being when there are circumstances that simply aren't going to exist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, so we can see yeah. the setup for misery in that, right? I mean, these kids
mm-hmm.
are 11 and 13 years old. They've got
mm-hmm.
more energy than, enough to run power a small city, right? And they're going
mm-hmm.
in every direction all the time, and they have no needs for peace and quiet and harmony and in any of those things. None.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
so if we can actually get that that's the case, then we won't have
mm-hmm.
our success as a parent tied to these guys are going to be other than how they are.
Right. Okay. Well, what can I do just in that moment?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Because what you're really looking for is not them to be different, but you to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For you not to suffer because they are the way they are, and you're conditioned to react to that in a way that results in your suffering.
Okay.
So, yeah. So what if none of that were true? What if you loved active, rambunctious, healthy, vibrant kids who have tons of energy?
I do. But
okay,
what if they're, I mean, sometimes they're really rude or
uh-huh.
not following the rules and
uh-huh.
that kind of
uh-huh.
thing.
Uh-huh. Okay, good.
Might I like that? Might I like that,
well,
too?
Well, yes. Yes. So, let's go to a different venue, okay? This is one of my favorites. And that is,
okay.
Imagine that you've had a little bit too much to drink, but you decide you're going to drive home from the party anyway. Okay? And you get stopped by a police officer. Now, the law says you shouldn't be driving a car if you've been drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's you shouldn't be doing that. It's against the law. And there are consequences for that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the officer can go about it in a couple of ways. Let's make it the officer a him, okay? So he can drag you out of the car and throw you across the hood and scream and yell at you and throw you in the back of the squad car and take you to jail, okay, yelling at you the entire way. Or he could say, ma'am, it's against the law to drive after you've been drinking, and you've been drinking. So what I'm going to need to do is take the next step. So if you would hand me your keys and we'll lock up the car and then come on, get in the car with me and we'll go for a little drive. We can get your car later.
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, in both cases, you are being required to abide by the law. But you don't need to be abused in the process. And the officer doesn't need to be upset or abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. So are you talking about
hanging
me
together
with myself?
So far? That's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Me with myself.
And with them.
Okay.
And with them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well,
so
I try.
You need to, that's right. You need to draw the line. You need to take a stand.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you don't need to be upset. You don't need to be abused by those voices in your head. You don't need to be hateful to them. Everybody's just being who they are and how they are. And you happen to be the mom figure. And so you're the one who's required to take them out from behind the wheel and put them in the back of the squad car.
Yeah. Well, I love the sound of that. But
And right, we're an and group of people.
Okay.
And it takes practice.
Yeah, yeah, not getting triggered, staying calm.
Well, or getting triggered and watching what happens, seeing how you go unconscious, seeing how you get set up for it, listening to what the voices are saying, realizing that that's not what you choose. Because you are actually doing this for you, and you're also being a role model for them. So they get to watch an adult human being in these circumstances that are not of her choosing. Things are not going the way she would wish they were. And how is she in that?
Mm-hmm.
And they have a chance to see somebody paying attention, bringing awareness, choosing kindness, doing her very best, not indulging self-hatred, staying present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Might be the best summer school class they ever had.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, how to stay with that unconditional love in that when there's all that negativity. Like, there's negativity from them, there's negativity from me.
Yeah. See, I do a lot of recording and listening. I go for short walks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every chance I get. See, I was just in a similar situation. And so it's just constantly staying with yourself and reminding yourself of what we've talked about, of the bigger picture, of not getting caught up with those hateful, negative voices in your head. But staying here, staying present, I choose unconditional love, doing my very best here, doing a pretty good job, if I may say so myself. This is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I see the trees. There's the blue sky. Oh, thank God. Yeah, and at the end of the day, you make a recording about how well you did. And in the morning when you wake up, you make a recording about what you choose for the day, and how you want to stay with yourself and what you want to focus on. Yeah. So you get to become the unconditional love and acceptance for Emily that you're trying to be for these young people.
Okay.
You can do this.
Okay. I will try that.
Yeah. Stay in touch, huh?
Study. Okay.
It's a long summer.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. Sherry, what I loved about that conversation, I was projecting so much willingness onto Emily. And then with your guidance and a reminder that it's all practice, it seems like a really great direction to head off in.
Yeah. Yeah. We're off to do our best. That's
yes.
it. And if we can stay focused on that, then we're doing the best we can to put up a barrier, if you will, because that's what it comes down to, against that negativity and hatefulness. So somewhere, you know, somebody is fighting the great fight against that. And for those young people to have that modeled for them, I think is just tremendously powerful. So, you know, I'm a big believer in processing with kids, not telling them, not lecturing them, but just, okay, guys, all right, I'm going a little mad here because of the noise level. So what I really need for us to do, which is take 5 minutes, go to your neutral corner and do something, right? And in a way that doesn't say you're bad, wrong, and I can't stand the sight of you, but just really honest about, I would really appreciate a little peace and quiet here. And I know we can all do that, and so let's practice together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's practice together. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Brilliant.
I hope so.
Yes, and I'm sure Emily will call us back and let us know how it goes.
Yes. Oh, I hope so. Regularly.
Yes.
Because school starts again end of August.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Wow, this is so exciting. This is my first time listening to Open Air, and I got through, so this is really exciting. I'm doing the
Your first time listening?
Yes, because I'm doing the HOW retreat, and I couldn't seem to get onto the Open Air call, so I finally did, and I'm so excited that I got through. And I always am in the queue in the house calls, and I don't get through, so this is really exciting.
Oh, good. So you know it's not personal, right?
Yeah. No. And this
yeah,
is,
good.
This is so exciting. So,
good. Good. It's good to talk with you. Happy we're here. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, I have to say that first call was very similar to a lot of experiences I'm having. I also have an 11-year-old son, and so I just really appreciated everything that you guys talked about. I really, what really stood out to me in that conversation was when you said, when Emily said to not get triggered, and you said, no, get triggered. But watch what happens and then choose another outcome. And so that really stuck with me because I feel like I'm always trying not to get triggered. And I think that's obviously a losing battle. So
yes.
That was a really great conversation that I really enjoyed. So thank you.
You're very welcome. But one thing about that before we move on, Jennifer, and that is we forget that we are teaching our kids how to be human beings. And so to attempt to make a child believe that you should always be even-keeled, never get triggered, never get upset, never scream, never yell, never get angry, never get, what in the world kind of a message is that to send a child into the world with?
Right.
It's crazy.
It's a bad cycle that we, you know, that obviously we've fallen into. I can see it now. It's very clear.
Yeah. We'll hear people, they've lost a loved one and they need to be strong for the children, which means don't show emotion. Don't get upset. Don't cry. And I just think, my God. So here we are teaching these little sentient beings to put all of their energy into not being sentient. So unhealthy.
That's, I know. It's so crazy. I was just talking with my coach the other day about the exact same thing, and she read me one of your quotes, you know, that biologically we're, you know, made to feel all of these emotions, and karma is when we suppress feeling them. And that just hit it on the head, you know. And so I think that's such a great reminder as a parent, that teaching them that it's okay to have those emotions and those different emotions. Yeah.
Yeah. That's and awesome. How to be with them, right? To have them and then to have choice about how to be with them. You know, it's not that you need to repress anger so that nobody ever knows you're angry. It's what is that emotion? What are those sensations and those feelings? And how can you be with that in a way that's not harmful to you or anybody else? Yeah. Anyway, what did you want to talk about?
That's great. That was awesome. I think in kind of a connection to this, and not with parenting, but in relationship with other people, you draw your line, you know, your boundaries are like you're in your example, the wall, you know, and you set your boundaries. But I'm having a hard time with people that don't respect my boundaries. I guess I don't enforce my boundaries, and I'm having a hard time with sometimes I feel like I'm projecting that they're trying to harm me, but then I also, it's becoming a duality where I feel like sometimes they are actually trying to harm me. And so when there's a difference between someone who, like, you're projecting that they're trying to inflict pain on you versus they are actually trying to inflict pain on you, I'm having just like a hard time with that, I guess, if I'm explaining that correctly.
And Jennifer, who would it be who would actually want to inflict harm on you?
I mean, just, I don't know that it's inflicting harm. It's, you know, family members, but I don't know if it's inflicting harm as much as it is they're in pain. And so sometimes I feel like it's redirected in my direction.
Uh-huh. So they're struggling with something and they lash out at you. Or they kind of take it out on you.
Right. And so when I'm thinking about, like, you know, not projecting onto other people and, you know, staying centered, I just feel like in some, and not having to do something, right, not trying to figure out what I need to do. But I feel like in some instances when there is, like, a lashing out back, like, I feel like I do need to do something. And then that makes me think that I'm going down the wrong way, because then I'm, you know, up in my head noodling, okay, what do I need to do now to get to change this situation?
Okay, give me one, okay? Can you give me a specific?
Like a specific?
Yeah, what's somebody say or what do they do?
Well, I'm in a situation right now where my mom lives with me, and so, which I'm extremely grateful for because she helps me with my son because I'm a single mom. But she doesn't, you know, like some of the things that I do, and particularly doesn't like one of my friends, and has told me, like, you know, if you're going to spend time with that person, I'm going to be upset with you, and will then be upset with me. And I just feel like it's something that I need to remove the situation. Like, I need to remove myself from the situation. So I'm thinking it's not working out, like the living situation, because it's causing me so much stress.
Uh-huh. And so again, as we talked about with Emily, what if it didn't? In other words, so your mother is very clear, really. It's kind of helpful. You know, she's not giving these sort of subterranean messages that you have to try to piece together. She just comes right out and says, if you do that, I'm going to be upset with you. And so what is be upset with you? What does that What does she do?
I mean, it just makes for, like, a cold environment. Like, communication kind of stops. You know, I feel like it just creates an environment in my home that becomes like a little like hostile, I guess, and the energy just feels yuck. And then I kind of seclude myself, you know, and I feel like it just adds, I think it just adds a lot of stress to me as well.
Well, yes, absolutely. As would getting rid of your mother and having to deal with your son full time since you are a single mom. So just if, you know, if you want to take this on as an experiment, because what we're conditioned to do is exactly where we're conditioning has you, which is this is a really bad, uncomfortable, stressful situation. I need to change it. And
right.
And what that means is then I need to look to conditioning to see what to do in order to change it. So mom needs to move or I need to move or something. But what if you didn't go down that road? What if you took it as an awareness practice opportunity? So you and mom play this game. You probably played it since you arrived on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. Where she controls you, manipulates and controls you through being upset with you. Probably, if you looked at it, you have learned to do that too, because we do learn those kinds of things from our parents, right? So she doesn't like something that you're doing, and so she gives you the cold shoulder, and you get really upset and uncomfortable, and the game is on, right? And what if you didn't do that? What if you simply didn't notice? What if you acted as you would act if this weren't going on? Can you picture
it? Yes, I can. I feel like it would. And I can. I know. I hear what I'm about to say is ego dropping in again. But I feel like I do that sometimes, as much as I can. But when it happens consistently, and then I am in a point of lower energy level or exhaustion or frustration about something else, I feel
Right. So we have to take it up a notch, okay? Because you can see that you're actually looking to conditioning, right, to interpret how you're feeling and what's happening and what this means. It's the noodle thing, right? And so I would suggest that you take it up a notch, which is you don't act as if this isn't going on. You acknowledge that it's going on. I know you're upset, Mom. I know you are. I wish you weren't, because I love you. And, you know, I wish you weren't, but there's really nothing I can do about it. So just know that I love you. Here we go. And instead of looking to conditioned mind to tell you how that's not working and take you down that same route, to just turn your attention back to yourself. Get a little song that you sing inside your head and give your attention to that. Put a little spring in your step. Okay? Now, I'm not saying mom isn't going to escalate this, because it's very likely that she will. But if you can hang on, I can promise you the dynamic will change. Because when conditioning is not getting what it wants, it tries something different. So down the road, you're going to have a different situation.
Okay.
But it won't be this one. Yeah. And as you know, because you've been practicing for a while, if you go with conditioning and you try to change the content, try to change the externals, this is just going to show up somewhere else, because you have more relatives, more friends, people at work, people in society. This kind of dynamic is something that we run into all the time. And if we resolve it in ourselves, it's not a problem with other folks. If we don't, it remains a problem with other folks.
Absolutely. I can see that so much.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm not saying it's easy. It's like Emily and those boys, right? It's not easy. It's just, it can be happier. It can be more fun, more interesting, and ultimately more successful than the alternative.
Absolutely.
So we call it going all Gandhi on her. Okay?
I'm writing that down. And I think I'm going to make a poster out.
Good.
That's fantastic.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Well, thank you so much. It was so great to talk to you. Go happy. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. That has to be the quote of the show, Sherry, going all Gandhi on her.
She'll never know what hit her.
That is great. And I love the fact that with that change you suggest, it's going to change. The situation is going to change. Who knows how, but better than the same old misery over and over and over.
Yes. And in it, what's happening with us is that we're learning a process. So as the dynamic changes, in this case, Jennifer, in this case, Emily, are practicing a process that can be applied to the next permutation. Right? Because conditioning is always going to come up with something. But if we learn how to be in that Aikido relationship with it, it doesn't really matter what it comes up with.
Yes, because we're flexible and creative and paying attention and responsive.
Yeah, and working on our moves.
Working on our moves. Exactly. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sherry, so our next move is going to be to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Well, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, yes, my name is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Fremont, California.
Oh, okay.
And I was recently at the weekend at the monastery retreat.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. And it was...
I remember.
The best thing ever.
It was
absolutely wonderful. It was just eye-opening for me, just using the recorder, and I came back home and was just really inspired and motivated to continue using that approach because I feel like it took my practice to the next level. I feel like I'm pretty good at being compassionate with myself and noticing where I get stuck, but, you know, kind of making sure to listen to a different voice, you know, throughout the day has been really helpful.
Good.
But what happened was when I came back from retreat, while I was on the retreat, I kind of saw my life from the outside very clearly in terms of how busy I am and how much I just my responsibilities. With my work, and then I have two young kids. And when I was at the retreat, I saw it and was like, I can't go back into that because it's so incredibly abusive, just how hard I am on myself to keep up with the pace of my lifestyle. So mm-hmm.
even though you're not actually abusive to yourself, the pace of your life is abusive.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, it felt like I can't. I'm too fragile for that. It's too much. Mm-hmm. I can't. Mm-hmm. Something needs
to change.
It'll kill you. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get sick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when I came back from retreat, I felt like I was doing pretty good. Maybe that's my ego talking. But I was meditating. I was, doing my recordings. I felt like it was like, okay, I see you, self-hate. I got my eye on you, and you're not going to get me. And could see very clearly it's what I create, that, what I'm thinking, it's what makes me suffer. It's not the actual experience of my life, because the actual experience of my life, I'm free, there's no problem. So anyways, I was practicing, and then over time, I became more and more exhausted, more and more overwhelmed, back into the just daily grind of all my responsibilities.
Survival.
And then just becoming depressed. And so what happened this last weekend, I realized that, it was self-hate, that it kind of came in through the back door. I didn't realize that that's what had been operating, which is you have to keep going. Don't drop the ball. Don't make a mistake. Don't forget anything. You need to get back to all these people. You need to maintain these relationships. If you don't, then you're disappointing people. So it all was just, it felt like I was, like in control of a slave driver who was telling me everything I needed to do and the way I needed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into touch with that and spent a day of really feeling sad and in a lot of pain for just how awful it feels to be when self-hate takes over. So my question, or where I'm kind of now, I even had to stay home from work today because I was getting sick, and it was like I need a day to just to stop. But now I'm afraid of self-hate. I'm afraid that it's going to come up again, or just that I'm going to get sucked back into just that whole flow of got to keep up with it. And I'm just really nervous that I'm going to be sucked into it again.
Uh-huh. Well, I would encourage
Not
to be not to be nervous, because you will.
Yeah, right.
It's like there's no sense in being nervous about something that's a foregone conclusion.
Right.
And three things about that are so wonderful, and I hope I can remember what the three are. So one, you have a very full, I would project, good life.
I'm very grateful. Okay. Yes. There is abundance.
Yeah,
that's hard. Say no.
Yes. But you love your work. You love your family. We live in a nice place. It's good. Empirically speaking, it's good.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is full. There's a lot when we work full time and have a family full time, it's a lot. It's busy, and you can do all of it, right? You can do your job. You can be with your family. You can meet your responsibilities. That's not actually a problem. You had that experience that you were doing everything in your life, and it was fine. What isn't fine is the slave driver, right?
Yeah.
You've got to hurry. There's too much. You've got to call those people. You're going to be disappointing people. You can't make a mistake. Don't drop any of those balls. You've got to. That's the killer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because without that, if that voice weren't there, you would just be deek-de-deek-de-deek along through your very full, very busy, active, fulfilling life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to be able to make a choice to slow down or create more space for my meditation or to say no to things because it feels too full. It's too much.
Well, yes, it is because ego, as you've noticed, is making the choices. When life is making the choices and we're in sync with life, then it really isn't a problem because when we're tired, we rest, and when we have a lot of energy, we go, and it's a flow, right? But this the self-hating system is pushing for us to not be in sync with life, but in fact to be in sync with it. And so there's no reason now, you know what I said earlier, but I'm going to say this, there's no reason to be afraid of it. There really isn't, because that is practice. That's what practice is. You know, we come to our eyes clear, we can see it, okay, all right, here we go, we're going. Oops, distracted, unconscious, all the karma rushes back in, and I'm right back where I was, and I'm getting a beating for being back, and then we learn to say, wait a minute, I'm cleaning up karma here, all right? I'm not becoming a perfect, conditioned person. I am cleaning up karma. So you've got kids, you've got a house, you work. I bet sometimes there are some messes around the house. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, it's always a mess.
It's always a mess. Of course it is. and that's how it is. And you do your best to keep up with and sometimes get slightly ahead of the mess. And that's what we're doing with karma. That's what we're doing. We're cleaning. Now, if you weren't making those efforts to stay on top of the mess, pretty soon, you know, you'd all be buried in there. And so you are keeping up. You're not meeting the standard that ego would hold for you, but you know you're doing your best, and you're making inroads. Okay.
Yeah, I think what was just so hard is so painful to be suffering.
Excuse me.
It's so painful to be like, you know, being driven by the slave driver and to be in that place. Because I love feeling free. I love, you know, that being in that place.
Yes.
So it's
Now here's one that I want you to keep an eye on. So when you came to and realized what had happened to you, what you did is basically go to bed sad. When in fact it was a moment to celebrate.
Yeah, that's what my husband was trying to make me do, but it was like, no, you don't understand. It's so painful, and I'm so scared. I don't want to go back to that place.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah,
which
you're
is
right.
Which is how we stay in that place, right? Mm. So that's just one to keep in mind. Every time we come to awareness, to conscious awareness, ego is going to try to drag us into what you've seen is proof that you've made a mistake. No, actually what I've seen makes me that much more committed to keep my eyes open.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It really is a time to celebrate the fact that, aha, okay, I see it, I get it. All right, I'm on it. Now, that doesn't mean you don't want to, you know, take a couple of naps during the day if you're tired. But that's not the same as letting the sadness come in, because there's nothing to be sad about when we come to conscious awareness.
Hmm.
You with me on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was more it's the fear. The fear just got in, and it was like, oh, you're going to feel like this again. It'll come again.
And what we say to that is, yes, I probably will. Yes, I probably will. That's what waking up and ending suffering is all about. Yep.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to be, ego is fear, right? So, of course, mm-hmm. it's going to come in there to try to make you afraid so that you'll give more attention to it. But just staying in that place of, this is a process, this is a practice, I'm practicing, and it's not going to happen yesterday. It's not even going to happen probably by next week, but it is going to happen because I'm going to keep showing up and I'm going to keep practicing, and the transformation is already, it's that, you know, the old Zen thing about your favorite teacup is already broken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somewhere in the universe, your favorite teacup is already broken. So don't cling to it right now. Just enjoy it. And in the same way, the transformation has already happened, and we're just enjoying the process of watching it come to fruition.
Thank you.
Are you in the year-long retreat?
I'm not. No, but I'm really excited to see that the center has opened in Mountain View, and I can't believe it. It's like dream come true.
Yep.
So I will hope to be there.
Good. And you might think about doing the year-long retreat, joining the year-long retreat, because what it consists of is a radio show every morning for half an hour where we look at an exercise, we practice it all day, and then we get together and we talk about it. And it's a great way to have that start your day, because you're on the West Coast, start your day with that kind of solid support for yourself, that Sangha reminder. Just something to consider.
I need the Sangha for sure. Thank you
so
much.
Very good. Great to talk with you.
Thank you. You too, Sherry. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, Angela. And Sherry, I think we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello, Michael, and hello, Sherry. This is Kim calling from Vashon Island.
Well, hello, Kim.
And I'm so happy to be here, and didn't expect to get called on, but I'm really happy because that last conversation kind of dovetails with my question.
Uh-huh.
And the last thing you said was celebrate that you're seeing this process happen. And I was like, that kind of answers. So my content is that I keep getting asked to do things, and first I say yes, and then I say no.
Uh-huh. And people get less than excited and happy about you?
That's right. And so my question is, like, I've done this too with now a few times, three times maybe in the last 6 months. I mean, I don't do it very often. I usually say yes. And you and I had a conversation at the monastery last month about just saying yes and lowering your expectations.
Uh-huh.
Just
letting
saying
life
yes to every
choices.
Yeah, because it's coming into my sphere, so I'm going to say yes, I'm going to see what happens, and life will sort it out. Well, so I start on that path of saying yes, and then something happens. So this time I got asked to play a concert, and something, I said yes, and then there was some niggling back and forth about how it was going to go in payment and this kind of thing. And then I just was like, you know, I don't really want to do this. And I said no to the person. And it was lots of time for them to find somebody else to do it. It's not like it was going to happen tomorrow. But it was like the same process that's been happening to me. What's going on here?
And so where's the question, Kim? Do you feel you shouldn't have changed your mind, or
you should have known? The question is, and then I beat myself up. Oh, I disappointed that person.
Well, you don't, the voice is
the
ego.
Ego's beating me up and just saying, you shouldn't have said no. You should have followed through. What are you thinking? And then, it starts on this litany of you're a bad person, you're this, you're that. I'm watching it.
I know. Right, we know the answer to that one, right? That's just bogus, and you don't have to pay any attention to it. There's no information for you in that.
All right. So I did a little two-handed recording with this, mm-hmm. and what the mentor dropped in was, there's nothing wrong here.
Right.
What you did, it's
there's
okay.
There's no problem.
There's yeah. no problem here, right?
Yep. Yep. I agree. I'm with the mentor on this. Let me tell you a little story about my teacher, okay? So he got an invitation from a local college to come and do a talk. And and so he said, sure. And then they called up and they said, something has come up and we're going to need to change the date. And he said, mm-hmm. okay. And time went by and they contacted him again and said, you know, something has come up and we're going to need to change the date. And he said, okay. And time went by. And it happened again. And he said, okay, no, I won't be doing that. Mm. And the person got very, the person clearly was an expert on Zen, and said, well, I thought people of Zen were flexible. I thought Zen masters were in the moment and flexible. And he said, yes, it was a very in-the-moment, flexible sort of decision.
Love it.
Yeah? Uh-huh. And there you uh-huh. are, right? So you said
wow.
yes, and then stuff yeah. started happening, right? And there's the
yeah.
back and forth, the niggling, and it's starting to be unpleasant. And so it occurs
yeah.
to you, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't need to do that. And so you said,
wow.
And as you also said, it's not like you waited and called up the day before
no.
and ditched
yeah.
the person.
No.
It was perfectly fine. And so as the mentor pointed out, there's no problem.
Wow. That is a really good story because as we were, anyway, I don't want to noodle, but as we were saying before, saying yes to one thing is saying no to something else. Or saying no to something, let's reverse it. Saying no
yeah.
to one thing is saying yes to something else, I guess, right?
That's
it doesn't
right.
matter.
Yes. Well, and you did your part, right? You said yes.
That's
and
first.
Then in my world, life kind of took care of it. It was never going to happen for you. Right? Circumstances just shift around until it becomes clear that actually that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And however, I guess the question I have or what keeps going on in my mind is that it was my choice in a sense. I was like, you know, this just doesn't feel right.
Well,
and when I said no, I was like so relieved. And the question I have is, well, was that conditioning that was relieved, or was
okay.
that really? And does that
don't,
not matter?
Don't indulge that noodling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It happened. It dropped in. You saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You said
mm-hmm.
it. You felt
mm-hmm.
the relief. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Just say thank you.
Okay. Well, that's
yeah.
wonderful. Oh, I'm so
yes.
happy. I'm so happy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you
yeah.
so much.
Yeah. And because, you know, Kim, if we've got something, so you're being bamboozled by conditioned mind. You're
mm-hmm.
being conned in some way. The mentor will let you know. Life will let you know. Something will come
yeah.
up and you'll think, huh, and you'll begin to look at it and you'll ask a question and you'll get clarity about it. It's not,
mm-hmm.
we don't need to worry about it. We're fine.
Mm.
It's not a contest. It's only a contest for ego. We're just learning and growing, right? We're just having little workshops all along the way where we get to see things and we get clearer and we get more free and more relaxed and happy and grateful and present and kind. That's all that's happening with us. Nothing but egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is ever angling for unhappiness or suffering or punishment.
Right. That,
yeah.
And I guess what comes up again is that, so when I said yes initially, I was like, okay, I'm saying yes. It's coming into my sphere. And then,
yeah,
as you say, and then the niggling started, and I was like, this is, you know, I'm going to say no now.
Uh-huh.
Pretty fast.
Yeah.
The question is that fear, was that fear? Or was that, I'm noodling again.
Kim, yes,
yeah.
You are. Yes, you are. And so what you could do is say yes. What you could realize is you're saying yes to this isn't working.
Ah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love it.
All right.
I love it. It's so much easier. It's so much easier. Yeah.
Yes, so much happier.
Yeah.
Thank you,
thank
Kim.
Thank you. Gosho. Thank you, Michael.
Gosho.
You're welcome.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. Hey, Sherry, I love that you know, that conditioned mind and the noodling and the figuring it out, and it just leaves me in a place of misery and suffering, and
right.
I haven't figured anything out.
Yes, and we have that strong sense that, you know, life just isn't interested in that kind of thing. You know, as soon as we get back here, that little space between the thoughts, and we realize, you know, none of that seems to matter here.
Mm-hmm.
We have to leave here for that kind of stuff to be real and for that suffering to be something that's important.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. And that brings us to the end of another great show.
I've loved it. Thank you, sir.
Me too.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you soon. Okay.
Good
night, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Good night.